work for you. Let's not wait to the New Year's resolution. Let's pay off those credit cards now and skip 2 full months of mortgage payments at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
Hi everyone, Iggy here to tell you about the fine folks down at Bertarelli.
Now hold on, Iggy. Not trying to interrupt here, but I'm doing Bertarelli cutlery.
Well, you just did interrupt me as always.
Well, you know what, whatever.
Do you have the address there?
I do. If you let me finish, Bertarelli Cutlery, 1927 Marconi Avenue on the Hill to get your knives, scissors, and garden tools sharpened. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives. Bertarelli Cutlery, they never interrupt you like Iggy does.
Hey, Grizz fans, get tickets and get in the game. Join us for our Veterans Day game presented by Ashley Furniture Home Store as Mark Gasol and your Grizzlies battle Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz Monday, November 12th at 7 p.m. For tickets, call 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com today. Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex, now with a new DePere location. Stop in with coworkers or clients Monday through Friday from 11 to 4 and enjoy a delicious lunch combo. Choose from 14 flavor-filled entrees, all served with rice, refried beans, and a soda. Or order the tableside guacamole and enjoy the show as your server makes fresh guacamole from scratch just for you. Visit Rosalita's Cantina at two convenient locations, 1235 Washington Avenue downtown or 12796 Manchester, just west of 270. Rosalita's Cantina, Tex-Mex. Done right.
Maryville University offers more than 90 innovative, market-relevant degree programs. Maryville invests in state-of-the-art technology to empower its students to learn in an engaging, collaborative environment. Through its Digital World program, students receive free iPads loaded with digital textbooks and more than 150 apps. With a dedicated life coach assigned to each student and a 97% career placement rate, Maryville provides a great return on investment. Check out maryville.edu for more information.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The credit card companies spend millions of dollars a year trying to figure out ways to keep you further in debt. Get the cash you need and pay off your credit cards once and for all at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC, NMLS number 1326241.
It's Wrestling Night Memphis. Join your Grizzlies as they host the Philadelphia 76ers Saturday, November 10th at 7 p.m. Get 2 terrace tickets and 2 5-piece boneless wing coupons from Wing Guru for just $22. Plus, the first 5,000 fans get a Grizz wrestling tee. Call 901-888-HOOP or shopgrizzlies.com today.
End of the year tax time comes on quickly. Well, it's time now for you to look at your personal property and real estate tax obligations. Let Royal Banks of Missouri help you get to the finish line in great shape. We can show you our line of home equity products that will get you there. Call our terrific home equity lender, Carol Hofer, at 314-212-1500 for more information. It's Royal Banks of Missouri, where better service means better banking. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is
well,
for
I
and who's
see
against the
one
law.
Call, well, and see, I gave all of you, advance notice and the number earlier than I've ever given it. Yet, you still insist on waiting till the last second. So here we go. Scott Sherman is in the room, out of the green room. Scott, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. How are you?
I'm terrific. I'm going to give the phone numbers one more time, and I'm going to mention your sponsor, and hopefully then we'll be stacked up with calls. Here's the way this works, folks. Most of you, not maybe not most of you, but a lot of you, have something going on that either you're wondering if you need to get the advice of an attorney, or you know you need to. You just need to talk to somebody, and you're not wild about throwing down $300 just to get a couple of questions asked. That's why Scott Sherman is here. So here are the numbers. We're talking about his sponsor, and then we'll jump right in. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Scott Sherman's brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. Peroni's has two locations. They're in Florissant and they're in St. Peter's. And they have an all-you-can-eat buffet Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Friday, that would be tomorrow, the buffet includes their world-famous chicken wings. This Peroni's has some terrific food. If you're a toasted ravioli person or a mostaccioli, and that's how you pronounce it, not muscaccioli. There's no K in there. There's no U. It's mostaccioli. They have terrific mostaccioli. They're Peroni's. Oh, and then the Florissant location, they have banquet facilities, and you can accommodate up to 100 people. up in Florissant. So remember the buffet, remember the name, and remember the website, and remember how to spell it, P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, Peroni's, PeroniesPizza.com. The calls are coming in. One more time for the numbers, then we'll jump in. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. And please remember, too, as soon as a caller finishes, that line becomes open. So start dialing away both of those numbers, and eventually you will get through. Let's start with Dan. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
Doing good. From Wake Forest, North Carolina, I am AM in the PM. Hallelujah. Yes, I am. Yep. I lived in St. Louis for a long time, and I still listen to you every day. So
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I just recently bought a house here in Wake Forest on 2 acres, and it backs up to a car junkyard. And I had a survey done, and approximately 10 yards, 30 feet into the back side of my property, there are tires, dishwashers, bumpers, just all kinds of car parts. And it looks like they've been pushed in, like, by a earth mover. So a lot of it's under some, you know, some dirt and stuff.
How did a dishwasher get in there?
I have no idea, but it's back there.
That's the only thing that didn't make sense. Car parts, tires, and a dishwasher.
Dishwasher, yeah. So I guess I haven't approached the business owner yet. I kind of want to do it in a kind way first. But it's going to take a significant amount of work to get all that stuff out. And I guess I'm kind of thinking about, because I listen to you every week, there's some kind of, isn't there a 10-year rule? Like if it's been there 10 years and I'm kind of out of luck, or is that apply here? Or because I just moved here in August.
It can. So, I don't know. I mean, that's a good pickup. This way that you can get things hostily does apply in North Carolina. You want to be careful because you don't want to trigger any thoughts in their mind that they may own that property. But I think you've got a good argument that it's on your property and it's trespassing, and you just want to let them know you're new. Hey, you're, you know, want to be a great neighbor. You got nothing wrong with the, not trying to shut down right. the car graveyard over there. You moved into it.
That's
you
exactly
knew
what it is.
You knew it was there, but don't you pick your appliance and your cars and put them back on your side of the fence. See what they say. And they probably won't have any idea about, you know, that.
Yeah, they probably don't even know that it's not on their property, is my guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't mention that.
Dan, is this an active business, meaning are they still dumping stuff, or is it just like stuff that's been sitting there forever?
No, it's an active business, but it's in a... Okay. Part of the business that doesn't seem to be used very often. I mean, there's nothing moving back behind my property. It's all far away on another piece of their property. It's huge. I mean, it's got to be 60, 70 acres. So it's a big operation. So, yeah.
How long is the stretch? You said, 8 or 10 feet into your property? Is that what you said? But how long?
Probably 30 feet in well, the back piece of my property is probably 600 feet that backs up to their junkyard. But it's in the wood. My house is in the woods, so you can't really see it unless you walk all the way back there. But still, if I want to sell my house, you know, I want kind of like be pristine, you know.
Yeah, and Dan, so. I have a prediction that their property is so vast that they have no idea where the boundary is. And if you went over there with, you know, a couple dozen donuts and you sat down to, you know, shoot the you-know-what.
Take the survey with you.
Hey, you know.
Take your survey.
I'm not trying to be, you know, a wise guy here, but here's the survey. Here's where you guys are over here. I'm sure you'll have no trouble picking up a few tires and, you know, throwing them back onto your yard and go from there.
It's probably it's more than a few. It's probably 30 or 40 tires along with bumpers and pieces of chassis.
I'm being facetious for the sake of the soft pedal because, you know, I don't know about, you know, I'm sure most people that own these pick and pulls and these car graveyards are pretty nice guys. Some of them, there's probably more than car parts in them. You just don't want to be a part of that.
Yep.
You know, adverse possession is the term you do not want to use with him or her or whoever owns that place. No. And the statutory period of time in North Carolina is 20 years, and they can stack that, meaning that if those tires have been there for 20 years and the previous owner didn't do anything about it, you could get stacked against you and lose that strip. But I don't think that's going to happen.
The house was built in 2006.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought I was looking at, you know, just sort of maybe something that had been around from the 30s and nobody really knew where the boundary was.
No.
So, yeah, you're fine on the adverse possession time because that's as long as I've seen it. North Carolina is 20 years. And, you know, that part of the world, Winston-Salem, is nice.
You even know the law in North Carolina.
That's no, I know. This is what amazes all of us. You could pick any state, and then Scott goes, Section 814, Code Violation 43C in North Carolina. What the heck?
You know, I got friends in Charlotte, and I've always wanted to live sort of in that Lake Norman area that's down near Charlotte. So once in a while, I pretend I'm from North Carolina.
All right. This comes down to whether or not these people are just decent people, nice guys, or they're gonna say, if you come over here again with that survey, we're gonna shove it with a shundle shine. Let us know how that goes.
Bring
okay?
donuts.
Bring donuts and your copy of your
black jacket.
Yeah. All right. Good luck. Dan, if you need Scott's email address, do you know it?
Yeah. Law Office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com.
He knows that.
Absolutely. Good luck, Dan.
Hey, thanks for keeping us with you in Wake Forest, all the way from St. Louis. We appreciate it.
The Demon Deacons of Wake Forest, a very good basketball program.
Yep, also still a Ballas Dental Care customer. I have
look at this guy. Moves away but keeps our sponsors.
Family in Columbia, Missouri, so I... A couple times a year, I go visit them, and I schedule my dental appointment there at Ballas. So
perfect listener. Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Frank. Thanks. Okay. See you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
See you, Dan.
How do you beat that? The guy moves away and takes us with him and all our sponsors. Let's get Mike in here. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, I got a law question. With the winter coming up, sometimes you go to a bar and stay too long and decide you don't want to drive home. Are you allowed to, in Missouri, sleep in the parking lot with your car running to stay warm? Or
that's a great question.
No, it actually is a great question.
It really is. I would say if you are not operating the vehicle. Now, this is not me encouraging you to try this out. If you sleep in the back seat, you may get killed, but you will not get a DWI. Because it's not plausible for you to be operating it. So if you can, I don't know if your vehicle has the ability to heat it without it engaging the engine. So sometimes people, you know, may work on the battery. Your battery might die. Or you may freeze.
No. You have to. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about every now and then, you know, I've done it before.
Looking
but you get
for,
up every couple hours, warm it up, and then go back to sleep, and then shut it off.
All right, but let me ask. I have a question for Scott too regarding this. Why, Scott? When you said get in the back seat, even if he's in the front seat, he's not driving the car. He's not driving.
It's a good defense, but you will not get arrested for a DWI because it's not plausible if the officer finds you in the back seat that you could have slid over once he rolled up. And sometimes the police officer can't see real well, and they find you in the passenger seat and go, "Well, you must have just jumped over here." And pretending you're asleep. Now, you could say the same thing about the back seat, but if you're not in the front seat, you cannot operate the vehicle.
Well, isn't it just private property anyway? I mean,
no.
Do they? No?
No, because they do welfare checks on people all the time. We've got thousands of people that are overdosing on drugs, and if they see someone who's asleep, they may just go over to that car to make sure that they're not dying. And they have the right to do that. So if they have the right to make a sort of welfare check, then once they're legally there, then they have the right to legally investigate any crimes that may be afoot, such as operating a car under the influence. So if they smell you're drunk and you're in the driver's seat and the motor's going, you're operating. If you're in the passenger seat, it's very gray. But if you're in the back seat, it's not nearly even close. You're not operating.
Well, I got to tell you, this Scott, this really surprises me, because when you said if you're in the driver's seat, you're operating, I still don't understand that. They can't prove that you operated the car when you were drunk. All they see is you in a stopped car.
They don't have to prove it. All they have to have is reasonable suspicion that you were operating. And the way that the courts have interpreted that is that if it's plausible for that car to be engaged, and if the engine's on and you're behind the wheel, you're going to get a DWI charge. Are you going to be convicted beyond a reasonable doubt? I don't know. Give one of these smarty pants lawyers $5,000 and let them figure it out, or jump your butt in the back seat for free. It's your call.
Well, the thing is, like, my daughter got into an accident in a mall parking lot, and the cop said, well, it's private property. We don't really have no jurisdiction here.
They have no jurisdiction over that accident, but they do have a jurisdiction over things like welfare checks and all kinds of other things that may be a crime, including DWIs. Go shoplift and then tell them it's private property and see what happens to you. You'll go to jail.
Right.
So they have the right to do their law enforcement.
The proprietor prosecute
now,
you.
Or be drunk, you know, or somebody's, you know, dipped out on heroin and go through a parking lot and slam into some lady with her kid in the basket. We'll see about private property while you're behind bars. They have every right to investigate crimes or suspicious crimes, no matter where it is, as long as it's within their geographical jurisdiction. But for writing police reports, they're not going to write them on a parking lot. They did actually write one for a parking lot case I just settled, so I can talk to. Some guy dipped out, as they say in the South City, at a QT and smashed into my guy while he was filling his gas tank. And that didn't go well. But they wrote a report, and we settled the case. So it is possible, but they do have the right to refuse to write reports. Those are civil, because there are no laws dictating the parking lot.
Okay, so bottom line is, if you're going to do it, get in the back seat and do it from there.
If you don't want to drive home. You do not want to drive home. That's the smartest play in the world. If you want to sleep it off in the back seat, and preferably with the heat on and the engine off or not engaged.
Call Dan Buffa. Call Dan Buffa at Uber home.
That is kind of impossible, because, one, your car is not generating heat. It's starting to cool down. And, two, you drain your battery. I mean, you got the blowers going and the engine's not running. I mean, you could do that for 10 minutes maybe, I guess. And then you fall asleep and your blower's running. And when you wake up, you have no battery. I have one quick question. Mike. It's Mike, right?
Yeah.
Mike, is there a particular place you do this? I have a feeling you do this on a regular basis. Is there some particular parking lot you use, or residence, or is it the same spot you're talking about, or you do this?
No. It's just in general. In the wintertime, you run into this issue. I mean, in the summertime, it's no big deal. You just leave the car off and, you know, sleep. But if you stay too long, it's like it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You don't want to be out on the road. And
I got you. Nobody can criticize Uber. You for not wanting to be a drunk driver. Nobody's going to criticize that. You're doing the right thing.
Or a drunk sleeper. That's absolutely 100% legal. Drink away, but stay in the back.
All right. We got to run.
They say you're not allowed to be in your car, you know, when you're drunk.
No.
But I don't know.
That's not true.
Okay.
Back seat. All right.
It's driving while intoxicated.
Mike, thank you. Yeah,
or really operating while intoxicated.
Yeah, DWI, driving, not sleeping, and not being in the back seat. Matt is next. Matt, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott Sherman. I am AM in the PM.
Thank you.
So my question revolves around child support. And a real quick detail, my wife and I had our divorce finalized back in January of 2016, in Madison County, Illinois. And at the time, it was determined that due to what I was paying for my daughter, that we would suspend the child support guideline payments that were calculated out based on income and et cetera, all that stuff. Well, now, let's fast forward to November of 2018, and she's asking about child support payments. And I said, well, what do you mean? We don't have a child support order. And she said, well, yeah, we do. It's in our divorce documents. I said, no, we suspended those, and we never had a court judgment for a child support order. Is there any way she can go back and get child support from day one without an order in place?
So the decree, you have a divorce decree. You're divorced. But there's nothing about child support that's in that.
There is no order. For child support.
There's an agreement between the two of you?
Yes.
Based on a handshake, nothing written?
No. We signed everything. It says that if child support is paid, it's X dollars a month by me.
Okay.
But we agreed to suspend it because I pay for other expenses. Well,
and
I
that
still
is
pay
the,
for those expenses.
And that was filed with the court. So that is the
that
order.
That was filed with the court.
Then that is the order. And that order of the court to the agreement that you made has to then have an amendment to it. So there has to be a modification. She needs a new order from a court of jurisdiction. I guess it's Madison County if the kids live over there. And so she has to go back to the beginning.
I think his question is, can she do that?
Sure. If she can convince the court that there's a substantial change in the circumstances, she can get it. She can absolutely file for it, but will she get it is a matter of, you know, I just asked Matt, have things changed in the last 2 years or year and a half?
Oh, this is where it gets good, Scott. You guys will find this funny. I read about this substantial change in circumstance, and my income has gone up. Well, so has hers. Her expenses have gone up. It's another one of those changes in circumstance. Her expenses have only gone up because she filed a motion to modify to get our daughter to go to the school she wanted. So
self-inflicted.
I'm paying more for a private school because that's what her mother wanted. Well, our agreement was that we paid X percentage for school. She got the school she wanted because it was closer to where she lives.
Was that the January 2016 agreement or a subsequent agreement?
A subsequent agreement.
What time was that?
On the school.
When was that?
That was November of 2017.
Has anything changed? Has there been a substantial change difference between your incomes in the last year?
Yes, we both received increases in incomes.
So let's say they were two brothers, and the one, well, he's 5'9". Yeah, well, the other one's 5'3". They both grew 3 inches. Their height differential is the same. I don't see a substantial change between the delta between what your income is now and what her income is now. You both seem to be growing at about the same rate. Is that about right?
Yes, sir.
Then that's not a substantial change in the circumstance. If she got fired, or she had to take a job working at the gas station or something, and you won the lottery, well, that's a huge change. This isn't. This is just you're both doing well. That's not a change.
Well, the other piece of this, Scott, is her boyfriend got fired from his job.
Irrelevant.
So
that's her problem.
Exactly. She is saying that she has more expenses each month because her boyfriend lost the job.
No. That's her problem.
No.
And I said, you're not legally responsible for him. You're legally responsible for our daughter.
Do you pay maintenance?
Yeah, that would be as stupid as if she said, I need more money because I've all of a sudden decided I really like caviar.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm eating that for dinner every night. I need more money.
Yeah,
no.
I've got a pill habit I can't kick.
I deal with
fortune.
This every day, man.
Oh.
This attitude is, well, I have more expenses because I'm paying for someone else's stuff.
No.
I'm not responsible for supplementing that.
Matt's like, look, I got four new girlfriends in their 20s. It's very expensive. So that's
Matt,
that doesn't count either.
Apparently, based on what Scott's saying, Matt, take a deep breath.
You're okay.
Relax. You're relaxed. Yeah.
Okay.
Here, Matt,
here's the thing. You can't stop her from asking for anything. She can ask for the moon, and so can her attorney. You can't quit. But what you have to sit back and go, okay, what could actually happen, and what's never going to happen? What's never going to happen is this boyfriend's not going to get anything.
No.
That's not going to fly.
Now, Matt, one last question, if I can. Do you pay maintenance to her, that alimony stuff?
No, we weren't married long enough in Madison County to have any sort of maintenance take precedence. So there was no maintenance or alimony to be paid.
Too bad, because I was going to advise you to pay the boyfriend to marry her. And then beg them to have children.
Yeah.
You know what? No, because...
And then have him leave her.
He's a total dirtbag, and I don't... I'm not a fan of him being involved in my daughter's life after that.
I don't blame you.
Oh, man, what a mess. Matt, you just made me feel so much better about the fact that I've never had to go through this. No, I'm serious. This divorce thing is a horrible... I don't, in my life, I cannot think right now of one person that I've known who got divorced. And I've known lots of people that got divorced. It never is pleasant. It never seems to be fair. Guys generally get screwed. And things that just don't make sense are still legal. And it's just, it seems so unfair to me. So I'm sorry you're going through that. I've never had to go through any of this crap. Thank goodness.
You know, Frank, it's all right. I actually get married to my fiance tomorrow. So my life's taken a big upswing since I got divorced. So
good for you. Good for you.
Things have gone well, but this nonsense came up, and it was. I mean, I reached out to my lawyer, and she hasn't been very responsive. I mean, I know it's. But, I mean, we hadn't talked in about a year and a half, so I just wanted to see what Scott had to say, and I appreciate all the info.
Well, congratulations. Take a deep breath. Have a great wedding tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, too. Boy, oh, boy. I'm serious when I say this. I, like anybody else, I complain about things. I complain about expenses. It's self-inflicted a lot of times. I make plenty of money. I shouldn't have to worry about it, but I do because I spent a lot of it, and I... Like anybody else, I go, well, maybe if I hadn't done this, or I could have done this, or I should have moved here, or taken this job years ago, and blah, 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 blah. But the one thing that I am so glad that I can't relate to and can't discuss with people is, oh, yeah, been there, done that, is the divorce thing. My kids are all grown. If we divorced now, at least I wouldn't have that whole part of it, that child support. But am I right? Does it not seem... that just generally speaking, the female, the mom, the wife, whatever, still, just because biologically she's the mother and the wife, has an upper hand. Is that not the case?
I think there's that's still definitely.
I think it comes into play with custody. I think it comes into play because see what they're doing by playing it this way is they're still making. Society feel like women are not equal. They're less. They're weak. Oh, you better take care of her. He needs to give her. That's old thinking to me, anyway. Let's get somebody else in here. That would be, I believe, Rob. Rob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Rob.
And hi to Frank and the rest of the gang. I'm a first time.
How you
caller,
doing?
Hey, Bob.
Thank
listener.
You. Glad to have you, Rob.
AM and the PM.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Call anytime. What do you got for Scott?
Simple little question. I'm divorced, so I can relate to that. And I have an older son, 27, that in the past year or so became kind of distant. And come to find out, him and his girlfriend has had a child. And they won't really let us see the child or interact with it. As a grandparent, do I have any legal right for visitation or anything?
Is this you and your wife, or does he just not let you see the child?
It's me and my ex-wife. He's pretty much distant and, you know, does not let us have any interaction with the child.
Before Scott speaks, the first thing that comes to my mind is this is the work of his wife, the mother. She's now turned him, for whatever reason, against you. Would you agree with that? Do you think your son would have done something like this if he weren't being influenced by somebody else?
Not necessarily, and that is one of my theories also.
Yeah. Well, here's Scott to tell you what you have or don't have as far as grandparents' rights.
Did I miss what state you live in?
Missouri.
No, don't. Now, grandparents' rights is sort of an air quote would be if the parents become incompetent, and there's a huge amount of that these days, the grandparents have first dibs on being the custodial parents or being the guardians of those kids? And the answer is yes. So you'll jump to the front of the line if they can't take care of these kids. But you can't go to court and walk in and get an order that says you get visitation over your grandkids. That doesn't happen. It does happen when the grandparent happens to have some other right, like they're the guardian of the kids or a temporary guardian or something like that. But to walk into court and say, Your Honor, I think my son and his beautiful whatever she is, girlfriend, wife, I think they're nuts and I want to see my grandkids, order me an order that lets me do that. They're going to look at you sideways and call the bailiff and have you locked up.
I lost my place on our list. Is this Bill?
No, it's
this
Rob.
This is Rob.
Okay, Rob, here's the bottom line is what you don't want to hear. Yeah, they can keep you from seeing. Is it a boy or girl? Grandson or granddaughter?
It's a little girl.
Little girl. Yeah, how old is she?
Just 4 months, I believe, at this point.
Well, I really hope this all changes for you in the next year, because in about a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, these are the cutest years that a child can. I mean, they're so cute from like 1.5 to 5, 6, 7. So I hope you get to tap into that and enjoy it. And you may very well, if your son comes to his senses or dumps her or realizes that she's coming, you know, she's breaking the family apart here. But the bad news is, yeah, they can keep you from coming over. They can make sure that they don't bring her to see you. And there's not much you can do about it until they're certifiably nuts, like Scott said, or do something really stupid, and you can prove that they're incapable of raising her. So the sad news is, and I feel bad for you, as somebody who now has a grandson, oh, my goodness, it's the greatest. And I hope you're going to get to be a part of all that.
Now, Rob, there's one little, real little specific exception. Are these people married, your son and this woman?
No, they're not.
Okay, if they get married and then get divorced, you then could then petition to court to see if you could get visitation. But as Frank said, I think that one of them is pushing for you and your wife to not be involved in their child, your grandchild's life. It's rotten, it's ugly, it's disgusting, it's not best for that kid. But maybe now that this child is here, maybe work an angle where either you or your wife can, you know, make sort of inroads to your son and see if you can meet with him. Maybe over time that freeze will thaw and they'll bring you back where you belong, which is around your grandchild.
I have kind of an obvious question here. Have you met her? You've met her, I guess.
Yes, I've met her. And in the beginning, things seemed to be pretty fine and normal. They'd visit, and then things just all of a sudden started to change, and we didn't hear from them for a while, and then you come find out, secondhandedly, we find out they had a child. And
Have you asked your son flat out, how can you have a child and not at least tell us? Have you asked him that? I would think you have.
It's hard to ask someone something whenever they don't want to interact with you, and nor will they speak to you, call you, and, you know, you
have no, that's true.
No way to... We interact with them. So
wow, this is I'm so sorry.
My belief of that, that's what I thought. I didn't have any legal options, but I wanted to ask an expert to see if I had any possibilities. So
yeah, maybe you'll get lucky and he'll dump her. All right.
I wish there was a legal way. So now it's going to have to be sort of an influence way.
All right.
Well,
thank you for
your advice.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, that's one we don't get very often. That's a sad one, too, is when somebody's kid just decides, and you have no clue why. You know, you had a reasonably normal relationship, and then they marry somebody, and they have kids. All of a sudden, you're blacklisted, and they won't even talk to you to tell you why. That's cruel. It really is. Is Bill our next caller, if my list is right here? All right. Bill, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Scott Sherman.
Hi, Scott.
Hello,
AM
Bill.
And PM. Hallelujah. This goes back to, I believe his name was Mike's question about sitting in the parking lot. And what happened
drunk
to me is kind of got in a fight in a bar, and I got kicked out of the bar, and I drove across the highway in a pretty notorious, you get fined for everything kind of town. And they had me blow, and I blew under the legal limit. But then they drug me out of the car, handcuffed me anyway. I mean, they handcuffed me and had me go up to their precinct, and they blew me two times on two different machines there I passed. And the third time, they took me to St. Anthony's Hospital for a blood test, and I passed that. How many times can a police officer make, if you pass the test, do they have rights to keep making you take them tests?
Frank?
I don't know, the reason I paused there is I have no clue. I've never been had a DWI, never been even tested, never had to blow the alcohol breathalyzer thing. I would say the answer is they can test you as much as they want. Scott, you'll have to take it from there.
A good police officer would know if their machine is calibrated and if they executed the tests properly. There's these field sobriety tests. They're controversial, they're complicated, but those breath tests are supposed to be science. The ones they keep in the patrol car aren't exactly admissible in court. They're evidence that somebody might be impaired. But once they get you to the station, that one's supposed to be, or those are supposed to be, absolutely foolproof. And if you blew under their machine and they didn't say that you did the test wrong, then that's it. And there's a case that went to the United States Supreme Court out of Missouri called McNeely, where they don't give your blood. And they had enough. They can say whatever they want, but if somebody's dragging you to a hospital to try and draw blood from you, tell them to go get a search warrant. And they can't get a search warrant if their machine in their station house has you under the legal limit in Missouri, which is 0.08 and used to be 0.10. And, you know, at some point, too bad, so sad. And if it's a notorious place, and boy, my mind is racing thinking which one it might be, if you have cooperated with the officer, you've done what that he or she has told you to do, you've blown into those machines, and if the one at the station house is under and they still want to do more, at that point you just say, I'm just going to spend the rest of the night here, read me my Miranda rights, and I'll talk to my lawyer. So at some point, you have to cut the nonsense out. Did they have the right to make you blow into the machine in the patrol car? Absolutely. Did they have the right to make you blow at the station house? Yes. It's called implied consent just by getting your driver's license. If they smell alcohol, they have the right to do it. But this can't go on forever, and where it stops is when they want to draw blood or want you to pee into something. And I'm not being a jerk about it, but at some point, enough is enough, and then you get your lawyer involved, and that's it, and let the courts handle it.
Well, I had the blood test. I passed that. They left me at the hospital. By the time I got back to the notorious little place, my car was towed, locked up, and I'm still just mad about that.
Is it in St. Louis County, this little municipality?
It's,
don't say it. I just.
High rate.
You said it. But that was one
I
of
said
the,
hi. I said
that's
hi.
That's right. I was thinking of, there's a couple of them, and one of them has a high in it. So, yeah, just folks, you know, it's the terrible thing is drinking and driving, but you still have constitutional rights. So, you know, don't ever be afraid to say, with all due respect, officer, I'm going to respectfully not do this, and I'm going to talk to my lawyer. You'll spend the night in jail, but it might be the best thing.
We got to scoot. Bill, thank you. Bye-bye. You said something. Oh, by the way, we got a couple lines open here. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. You said something about they absolutely have the right to make you take the breathalyzer. I don't know that you meant it that way, or maybe I misunderstand.
Let me
I thought you had the right to refuse. You don't have to blow in the car.
You do have the right to refuse, but they absolutely have the right to ask you, because of the implied consent law that is passed, where you have impliedly consented by having a driver's license and driving a car. And it triggers when they have a reasonable suspicion that there's some kind that you're impaired, in some way. They can't just pull you over at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, just because they feel like doing it. But they don't need very much in order to say to you, blow into this thing, this machine.
But you can always say no?
You can say no, but then that triggers the possibility of getting your driver's license suspended for a year through that refusal action.
That just seems
but you can
harsh
fight,
to me.
But you can fight that, too, by having a lawyer file what's called a petition for review or a PFR. So it absolutely is true that by getting into a car and having a driver's license, there's implied consent for doing field sobriety tests. That's true. There's absolutely true you can refuse to do it. That's true. There are consequences, potentially, outside even of getting a DWI to your driving privileges. That's true. And there's a way to file that or challenge that. That's also true. So there's a lot of interplay in this tennis match, but implied consent gives the police, gives the state, a wide swath with which to have people that they have a suspicion of being under the influence, the right to field test them, including breath tests. Now, when it gets to blood tests, and this was a trick that they used to play in St. Charles all the time, you do not have to do that, and they must get a court order to draw your blood. It's too intrusive. That's McNeely, and that's a Supreme Court case. So this DWI stuff, to me, is fascinating because every minute detail of a case changes the outcome. But you get in your car, you've been drinking, they pull you over, they ask you to do the field sobriety test and the other thing, they have the right to do that.
Okay, let's get Bob in here. Bob, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott. AM and the PM.
Thank you, Bob.
Now, I work with a guy, and he was going through a divorce, and he got divorced, and he borrowed some power tools from me, and sad to say, he passed away last week, and he was living in his grandmother's house, and his mother and his grandmother came over, and the girl he was living with in the house, they took all her possessions and threw them out on the yard and told her that she had to get out because it was her grandmother's house, and they came in and cleaned everything out and took my possessions too, which I had my name on them, and I was just wondering, what can I do about this?
I would love to sue these people. These are the worst kinds of people. I hate people like this. I know I don't want to name the person, but somebody that I know very well, their relative did this to them. It burns me to no end. Not only should that woman who was, quote, thrown out sue them for wrongful eviction because she's established residence there. I don't care whose house it is. Your landlord can go over and just grab you by the neck and throw you in the street. No. The other thing is, those things are yours. It's called conversion. It's not criminal, but boy, it's nasty, and it's the unlawful destruction or deprivation of the owner of property, and it's a civil action. It comes with punitive damages. It would be nice to file it. I don't know where these tools are that you had. I don't know where they went. If you can track them down, I'd go get them. But these people are skunks. And whoever it is that did that, they got a world of trouble coming if you are so inclined. So I just hate that. But you are absolutely in the right. They're not. You did not abandon them. You lent them to this guy, and you have the right to get them back. They're yours.
What are the tools worth, Bob? You think how much?
Probably around $300.
Okay. Wow, what a mess. I on one hand, I go, well, the moral of this story is don't loan your tools. People loan tools all the time. How old was he when he died?
29.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you'd never expect. Well, I'm kind of reluctant to loan you this circular saw because you might drop dead. You are 29. Holy cow.
This sounds horrible, but did he overdose?
He did.
It's the most tragic set of circumstances going on right now. But back to your tools, where are they? Are they just gone, or are they on somebody's yard, or were they thrown at the curb? What happened to them?
Well, all of the woman's possessions, they put on in the street and in the yard while she was gone, and then had the locks changed.
That's an unlawful eviction. What about you? Where's your stuff? It had your name on it. How do you know it's gone?
She tried to go back in and get some more stuff, and they had cleaned out the house, and everything is gone, and they're...
So they stole your things. Why don't you make a police report?
Yeah, well, one of the brother of mother...
What about the police? Have you made a police report yet? In the community where you live, do that tonight or tomorrow.
But he's a police officer.
I don't care if he's the chief of police. It doesn't matter to me. If you in the community, do you live in a different community than where the guy's house was when they died?
I do. Yes.
Okay, make the report in your community. They have police there too, and say these people stole my things, and have them go over there and see if they're there, and maybe you can get them back. Got your name on them, and if not, you can sue them. It'd be easier to call the police because I think they stole these things, right? They're not theirs. They don't have their name on it. They're not his. They are not part of his estate. I mean, they're yours.
Right? Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah.
Then make a police report.
And unfortunately, we are out of time here. Bill, if you need more from Scott, do you have his email address?
You mean Bob?
I do a lot.
I'm sorry, Bob. Bill would have been next if we'd had time. I'm sorry, Bob. Do you have Scott's email address?
LawOfficeofScottSherman@gmail.com.
Look at that. Yeah. Shoot him an email. He'll get back to you, and if you need more help, he's there for you, okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Bob. Thanks for listening. What a mess.
Terrible.
You loaned a guy 29 years old, your tool, and then what the heck, his girlfriend died? He died, so she is, oh my, she's little. Who's she living with, her grandmother? Or
His grandmother, and then they made her homeless in one second.
So once their grandson is no longer around, get out.
Right.
You know, you're not our family. He's gone. Get out. Holy cow. All right, thank you. We will do this again next Thursday. Folks, please don't forget that Scott Sherman's segment is brought to you by Peroni's Pizza. If you like the segment, you like learning about the law, and I think a lot of us now can practically pass the bar. If you like all that, you need to thank the people responsible. That would be the folks at Peroni's Pizza. P-I-R-R-O-N-E-S, PeroniesPizza.com, Monday through Friday. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., tremendous all-you-can-eat buffet, and on Friday it includes their chicken wings. Scott Sherman, thank you very much. We'll do it again next Thursday. Very well. Thank you. It is my pleasure to try to convince somebody out there that maybe it'd be a good idea to have somebody help you put some money away, save some money, invest some money. I have a couple of people, Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. There was Stiefel Nicholas. Stiefel likes to just be called Stiefel now, I think. Stiefel is a member of the SIPC and the NYSE. I started saving some money at about 27. I should have saved more. I did save some, but I shouldn't have saved more. That's not true. Because if I'd saved more, then there'd be a lot of things that we would never have done, a lot of vacations we never would have taken. And one of the tough things to do in life is try to figure out the balance. How much should I spend? How much should I save? And it's not always about how much you make. It's making the most of whatever you make. If you make $50,000 a year and you can discipline yourself to pretend you make 45, just forget the other five. Put it away. You'll be amazed at how much money that could turn into over 20 or 30 years. And the sooner you start, the better. So if you have $25,000 or more, you may have it invested somewhere. You may have a financial advisor, somebody else. You may just have it in a couple of suitcases, whatever. If you have the $25,000 or more, please consider setting up a complimentary meeting with Mark and Jason. Let them take a look at what you're doing with that money and then hear them out. Hear what they have to say. If what you're doing is smart, they'll tell you it's smart. They're pretty good at what they do. Mark and Jason, Mark Reardon and Jason Becker, markandjason.com. Stay right where you are because after the news, we have the Playhouse because it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis. and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Lisa Carter. FBI response teams were at the scene of last night's shooting massacre at a bar in Southern California.
The FBI Los Angeles Evidence Response Team is processing the crime scene here behind me, as well as the subject's vehicle and the home on Newberry Park.
Speaking in Thousand Oaks, FBI Assistant Director Paul Dalacourt emphasized the evidence they find will be followed wherever it leads. He added crews are also processing the home and vehicle of suspect Ian Long, a Marine Corvette. So far, there's no indication on what might have prompted